There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships podcast. I really, really hope that everyone enjoyed the last 2 weeks. We had reality TV stars Jason Oppenheim and Amanda Smith from Selling Sunset, and it was totally different, and it was something that I wouldn't normally do, but I suppose because I'm a massive fan of the show, I couldn't say no. And this week, again, we have something a little bit different, but again, I'm a massive fan of this person, so I couldn't say no. Kira Mary Alice Thompson, aka CMAT. I'm pronouncing that right, haven't I?
Yeah, CMAT. All good.
Is my new favorite musician. She's Irish. She is the singer and the musician behind the biggest earworm of my life, which is called Another Day in KFC. It's just the catchiest song. I hum it all the time. It's always in my head, and I know every single lyric. I know every single movement in the song, and I just I've been, to be honest, a bit of a creepy stalker on Instagram at this stage. I'll start off in that case by apologising and saying sorry for being so creepy. I'm absolutely cracked into both, and Rodney as well, which is your latest tune. How are you? And you've just sold out a rake of shows, am I right? So talk to me about
So my first ever headline shows, I announced upstairs in Whelan's and then in the Kino in Cork. And I sold out the first Whelan show in, I think, about 2 hours. And then the Kino sold out. I think it maybe took like a day and a half or 2 days or something to sell out. But they both sold out. And then this morning, what time are we at now? Right, so 10 o'clock, I had another Whelan show and another Kino show go on sale. And the Dublin show sold out in about 45 minutes, the second one.
You were joking. That's insane. That is absolutely insane.
It is legitimately insane. I can't tell you, like I was saying before we came on air, that literally the last couple of shows I've played have been support slots for people who didn't actually really know who I was, and maybe 7 people turned up.
Okay.
Absolutely grand. And it's like the standard of shows for me is like, oh, there's 10 people in the room, lovely, grand, I'm gonna have a great time with these 10 people. Like, it's not a bad thing, but also it's just my standard, so I don't understand what's happening. It's very strange.
It's really not a surprise to me, because every single person, so basically I think I discovered your song, your first song that you released, Another Day in KFC. I discovered that via Louise McSherry, my pal. And when I heard that, ever since, so immediately I put it on repeat on Spotify. And since then, every time someone has gotten into my car, I've made them listen to it. And
so, stop.
Fully not surprised if several of those people who I, you know, ferry around the place have bought tickets, because it's just one of those songs that you're immediately, like, I was immediately invested in your entire music career from the get-go. So come here.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and it's so deserved. So I wanted to know, because what the reason I was thinking, like, geez, I really need to chat to this gal, aside from the fact that, you know, you're a musician, you set up an email address recently for fans of yours, or people who follow you on Instagram, or, you know, people who know your music, that they could email in their, for want of a better phrase, relationship problems, and so that you could use that as a completely anonymous inspiration for your music. So tell me about that and why you wanted to set up an email address.
So I wanted to set it up because the thing is, so I've only released 2 songs, Mm-hmm. But I'm a bit of an old school songwriter in the sense that I believe every song should be about a breakup. And I think that every song is a breakup song. Every good song is a breakup song, because I'm not that original, but I actually don't mind, because I just think breakups are amazing. I think they're kind of, I think if you're a normal person who doesn't really, isn't self-reflective, let's say, if you're like a normal person who goes through this life without constantly like investigating your emotions and investigating your feelings and all of the kind of things that the modern era encourages you to do, you know, if you're just a fucking normal Joe, what will happen is the only time you have self-reflection and the only time you're kind of encouraged to investigate yourself and your emotions and your thoughts and your actions is breakups. Like, traditionally speaking, the only time men, like, in a heteronormative relationship ever would have investigated their own feelings in, like, you know, the 70s and the 80s and when all these kind of great breakup songs are coming out, was because it was the only time they ever looked at themselves, was like, am I not perfect? Have I ever done anything wrong ever? Is it a possibility that this is how so, you know, and that's why I love them and that's why I love writing about them. But, you know, I'm not that active romantically myself. So I was like, I need to outsource this. I need to outsource it.
I'm married and I'm not that active romantically, so that's totally fine. What I was going to say was, as well, Another Day in KFC, so anyone who hasn't listened to it, go and listen to it now, because A, it is hilariously funny, not to belittle your breakup, obviously, because that must have been
it is funny though.
It's such a funny song, and it's so uplifting and so hopeful and so kind of, you know, through gritted teeth, you're kind of singing this song, and it is about a breakup. So like, what was it that, you know, that obviously that song was inspired by a breakup. Like, have you kind of exhausted that breakup through that song, and that's why you're looking for more material from other people? Is that kind of the gist?
Oh, I don't think a breakup is ever exhausted of material. I'll be fully honest. I think if you have a bad breakup, it's like something has shattered into a million different pieces, and like there's a million different angles of looking at it. There's like a, like, you know, when you first go through a breakup, for the next 3 years or something, you're like, oh, we broke up because of this, and your reason for why you broke up changes like every week. You're like, oh, we broke up because he has commitment issues. We broke up because I just don't know how to live with another person. The reason we broke up is like he has mommy issues and there's nothing I could have done about it. Oh, actually, the reason we broke up is me. It was my fault. It's because I have issues. And do you know what I mean? It's like it's constantly changing. Your grasp of what actually happened is constantly changing because it's so up in the air.
Yeah.
So I don't think the breakup will ever be exhausted, but I do like to talk to people all the time. I'm a very talkative person. I love doing stuff like this. I love doing podcasts because I love the chats. And also, I noticed that when I released the first two songs, they're both about breakups. They're both about having a different perspective on pretty much the same breakup. People started messaging me like with no prompt. Like, I was not asking for this. People would be like, I loved your song so much. It reminded me of this breakup that I went through. And then I'd get like an essay from someone I'd never met before. Like, I don't know who they are. He'd be like, so yeah, like this happened. And also, like, I just think that, you know, he's kind of messed up and like, it wasn't my fault, but also I do realize that I have problems. I should be like, who are you? But also keep going, because I love this. Like,
that happens to me all the time with, you know, and I think there's a sense of intimacy with both musicians and, if you don't mind me making the comparison, with podcasters, because I feel like, you know, when I started the podcast, it's about, you know, it's about sex and relationships for the most part. So there is, you know, people are listening to me the whole time talking about these issues, and they do develop a level of, you know, kind of, I suppose, just like a friendship, if you want, with the voices that they hear, and with the topic, especially the topic that we you sing about and I podcast about. Yeah. So I, from the get-go, I was getting these deeply intimate messages from people. And again, you know, same as you, I kept everything anonymous always, and I used them for inspiration for episodes. And I'd get people sending me the most intimate things that I know that they weren't even sharing with their closest friends, and yeah. or indeed with their partners. And I just think it's absolutely fascinating the kind of intimacy that a podcaster or a musician like yourself can have with a listener. So have you gotten a lot of emails so far?
I've gotten a couple of emails, and I don't want to get too specific about the details of them. And there is one that is sorry,
you have to use them for songs, you can't give us any previews.
I don't really mind, like, just for example, like, they're so good for songs as well. And I think ultimately, like, people just really want to talk, and they really want to talk about stuff that has really badly affected them. And especially with the likes of breakups, I think people feel like they've exhausted their friends and family after like a week, and they get embarrassed about like talking about it, because they're like, I don't want to keep going on about this. But you do want to keep going on about this, but you just don't want to, you don't want to think of yourself as like that scarlet person who can't get over like her ex-boyfriend. You don't want to be that pathetic person, but everyone is that pathetic person. Like, everybody is very pathetic when it comes down to it. Like, everyone is kind of a loser. Everyone has at some point been the neediest person in the world, and it's fine. So like, the people that messaged me definitely were just like, this is something that happened. They'd be like, oh, this happened like a little while ago, and like, I probably shouldn't be talking about it. But then they go on, and I'm like, yeah, you still do need to talk about it, like, clearly, and it's fine. I'm here. Just let me, you know, harvest all this material for my own material gain. Like, but
it's years. I mean, I still talk about relationships that are a decade, if not longer, old. And it's, you know, it's so, they can be so fundamental in who you develop into as a person and how you move through the rest of your relationship. So like, they absolutely are things that people on a very ongoing basis want to talk about. And there's always that, like, you know, you look back at old relationships and you frame your new ones based on what has happened in the past. So do you think then, in that case, because so like, for anyone who doesn't know the song Rodney, one of the key lines is, why do you hate me? And it's repeated and repeated and repeated, and I just like, it's A, so funny, but B, just such a catchy hook. That song as well is inspired by a breakup, but like, both of those songs together, do you feel like you are, through those songs, getting a little bit of, I don't want to say closure is the wrong word, but is it almost a bit like therapy, you know, creating those songs out of your relationships or your breakups, and then performing them and having such success from them?
Yeah, I mean, the whole, like, the whole way I think about songwriting, like, for me, is like, I didn't like wake up when I was, I don't know, when would I start? I probably started writing songs when I was 11. Like, I didn't wake up and was like, I'm going to be a songwriter now. It was like, it was always just something that I needed to do. And to this day, it is still always something that I need to do. And a lot of the times it can be so weird. Like, sometimes I have written about the breakup before the breakup has happened. And like, I'll be in a relationship and I'll write this really sad song, and the person I'm going out with is like, what's that song about? I'm like, oh, I don't know, I just was like thinking it, I don't know. And like, literally, I won't even be aware of what it is, and then the breakup will happen, and then 6 months later I'll revisit the song and I'll be like, oh my god, I knew what was happening all along on some level, but I didn't want to vocalize it to myself, but I actually have written a song about exactly what happened, but I just didn't realize that it happened. Do you know what I mean? So like, 100% I need to write those songs like that. Like, I know I'm always trying to be like funny, but it is like also that class clown mentality that I have, which is like, I'm like, I have to be the funniest person in the world so nobody can see how upset I am. Like, it's a total thing, but it's always a good thing to write your feelings, I think, always, because otherwise you're just always thinking them and you forget. But if you actually write down your feelings, you can get a proper like snapshot of the time and the snapshot of what your brain was going through at the time. And it's always useful. It's always something good. You'll never not benefit from writing down how you feel, whether it be songs or like podcasts. podcasts are a documentation of how people feel, you know.
They certainly have documented a lot of my feelings over the past year and a bit. I think, like, you know, that's actually brilliant advice, because anyone that's gone through anything in a relationship, you know, I've recommended to people so many times to, like, journal, or to, you know, just write letters to, I've actually recommended that people write letters to their ex or write letters to their partner, and not ever send them, but just to vocalize and just to get out there what they're feeling in complete truth, without ever, you know, I suppose without ever thinking that it's going to be heard. So with that in mind, do you ever kind of, you know, if you are going to write down the complete guts of what you're feeling, it's, for most people, it will never be seen, it will never be heard. Do you ever feel a bit exposed by the fact that your kind of very intimate relationship breakups or whatever are public listening?
Oh yeah, like, listen, like, this is a whole kind of argument that you kind of have to have with yourself as well, especially with musicians, because people always want to know, like, like, music journalists and stuff, they're like, so, like, who are you talking about? And, like, what inspired this song in particular? And, like, who's the person that inspired the song in particular? And it's like, a lot of the time it doesn't really work like that, like, in the sense that I'm drawing from a real experience, but I might be using two or three different examples. Like, I might be using thoughts that I've had about my own relationship, something that somebody else has said, something that somebody else has said, and I use that to combine a narrative. Like, I did that with KFC. Like, that's, like, loads of little bits and bobs that is ultimately, like, coming into the same point, which is, like, oh, I'm so pathetic when the other person doesn't want me. I think the whole bit of being a musician and being a songwriter, especially the type of songwriter I am, is there's going to be, like, a profit and deficit, in the sense that I'm not profiting because I'm not actually making any money, but I'm getting lots of people to listen to me, and I'm getting lots of people who are engaged with me, and, like, that's the profit. But then the deficit is I have to give a huge part of myself away when I do it, and I have to completely expose myself. And there's days where I'm like, oh God, I wish I'd never spoke about that. I wish I'd never sang about that. I wish I'd never written that, because it does come back on you. Like, it does. Like, there's always someone. Like, my most recent breakup, I literally had to be like, is it okay if I put this line in the song? And, like, I didn't, it was very painful to, like, talk to him, because I was still, like, in the throes of the breakup. I was like, I've written this song and I've already recorded it, and it's already probably going to be the next single. I was like, can you listen to this for me and tell me if it's okay?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
As in, I didn't want to, like, I didn't want him to off guard listen to the song and be, like, I don't know, emotionally assaulted by, like, hearing everything that happened back in the song form. So I was like, is this okay? And he was like, yeah, it's fine. Because I would never put specific details into songs.
Yeah.
And there was specific details in that song, unless the other person knows, because that's, like, catching them off guard, and that's a bit messy, and I don't really like that.
Well, that's very generous of you that you did go back and say, you know, look, is this okay? Do you feel okay about this? And letting them know that the song was coming out, at least, you know.
I do that if I like the person. If I don't like the person, fuck them. I'm putting it out there.
Absolutely.
I've done that as well. Like, there's this one prick that I've written so many songs about him, and I hate his guts. And I'm like, how can I get really mean without being, like, petty? And how can I get, like, how can I just, like, how can I drag him for filth through the medium of song? But if I have respect for the person, and if I think the person is in any way a good person, I won't do that.
Yeah.
For this one guy, I'm like, fuck him.
Yeah, fair enough. And I there's some exes of mine that I when I'm, you know, discussing relationship things from the past on the podcast, I'm, you know, quite deferential almost, and I do kind of respect them, and I kind of give a, you know, an opposing view to the view I might have had at the time. But then there's some people I'm just like, no, they deserve every bit of what I'm about to give them here, both barrels. So you were saying,
you gotta do it.
Sometimes you have, and sometimes they just deserve it. You were saying there about the fact that sometimes music journalists will, you know, really dig down and try to get the juice of what, you know, what the song is about or whatever. And I've heard from authors that a lot of the time, particularly women's fiction authors, that they say to women who've written, you know, books about relationships or whatever, well, this is obviously about you. And they, you know, kind of book reviewers will say, well, this must be biographical. This has to be referencing something that actually happened because the writing is too real. So do you, would that ever offend you if an interviewer said, well, the writing is too real here. This must be about someone or something. Does that ever cross your mind? Do you ever get annoyed by that?
I think it depends on the circumstance, and it depends on the way the question is being framed. Like, if this is somebody who has really listened to the music and there's like an authenticity in the sense that they just really want to know, like the way they'll pose the question won't be like asking me specific details about the relationship. They'll kind of ask it the way that you're asking me questions now, which is like super respectful and just like, you know, it's obvious that this is autobiographical, because for me, like, there is so much autobiographical stuff like interwoven into the songs, like it's very obvious, do you know what I mean? But they'll pose it in a way that they're still kind of asking about the work and they're not asking about the relationship. What grinds my gears is exactly what you're talking about, because it is a women's issue,
yes,
where journalists feel much more entitled to women's pain than they do men's pain. So there's some people who will literally just come up and be like, so who's the song about? And like, when did you write this song? And how old were you? And what was the relationship like? And blah, 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 blah. And they're asking about the relationship and they're not asking about the work. That grinds my gears. And it is such a problem with female artists, or sorry, women and even, you know, non-binary artists and stuff.
Yeah.
It's never something that affects like cis heteronormative, like men, you know, like the kind of big beefy, like, I'm sorry. I don't think I've ever seen anyone ask Hozier about his ex-girlfriends, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no one's ever been like, so like, are you like, so who was she, and like, no one does that. No one asks him, and his songs are very, you know, autobiographical, and there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of relationship hurt in them, but he doesn't get the same kind of grilling. He just doesn't. I'm sorry, I don't want to use him as an example, because he's a lovely guy, and he seems like, and he's a fantastic songwriter and a great singer and stuff, but it's just that kind of double standard of like, I have two songs out. I'm at the very start of my career, and I've had so many more people that have like gone to the trouble of like printing my ex-boyfriend's name in the paper and stuff, when I didn't, I would never would have spoken about him, and I never would have like, I never would have given that information, and I never would have given the okay to be like, yeah, you can go ahead and print my ex-boyfriend's name in paper. But that has happened already. And that, to me, and I don't even think that journalist is bad for doing that, but I think it's an unfair double standard.
Yeah. And it's so disrespectful. And you're so right that, you know, not just, you know, the example that you gave of Hozier, but all, you know, male musicians, you're totally right. And it's even the same, you know, we see it all the time when a female actress or whatever is on the red carpet and they say to her, you know, how do you balance your career and motherhood, or how do you balance your family life? Like, there's so many double standards for creatives who are who identify as women. And I just think it's such a double standard. You're so right. One of the things as well that I really like and admire about you as a musician, and I suppose as a woman, is that you just strike me as being so confident and so sure of yourself. And when I see you on, like, I've watched a couple of your Instagram lives that you've done, like you did for Hot Press, I think, and I watched that, and you know, there was a couple of things I've seen, and on Instagram stories, you just completely, you seem so at peace with yourself and so comfortable with yourself. Is that something that you feel, or is that something that you are kind of putting across because you're a performer?
I think I am confident. I think I am very confident, which is not something I was self-aware of until I kind of got further and further into adulthood.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad in a way, because it was always women, and there was always other like women musicians that like the first thing they'd say to me is, God, you're so confident. Like, you're so sure of yourself. You're just so... And I was like, that's really sad. Like, because I don't even think of it like that. I just feel very comfortable with my personality, let's say. There's lots of other aspects of myself that I don't feel comfortable about. And there's lots of, you know, there's lots of things that come with being a woman in the music industry that is like not ideal, and that does 100% make me doubt myself. But in terms of who I am as a person, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about it. I think a lot of my life is a mess, but I have the music. I know I'm good at music to an extent. Yeah. I still constantly doubt myself, and I'm still constantly like, this is the worst song that's ever been written, and I can't believe I wrote it, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of times it is a bad song. Like, but I think I'm a cool girl, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we get on.
Like, to be honest, it's so refreshing to hear that, because I think, especially in the world of creators, I suppose, to just use a complete blanket term, like, I would consider myself a creator because I write and I do podcasts and whatever, but like in that kind of creative world, I feel like there's so much self-doubt, and like every single thing I've ever written, I read back over and think, what the hell was I doing? Why am I employed? Like, why do I still have a job? But it's so refreshing to hear that you actually feel that confident, because there's so many people who have that facade, if you like, but don't actually feel it like legitimately. So it's really great that you do. Is there any kind of advice that you would give to someone who maybe wants to feel that little bit more empowered, or wants to feel that little bit more confident? Is there anything that you'd say that helps you?
I think the best advice is that it's more of a warning. It's, if you are going out into the world and you are being confident and you are sure of yourself, and nobody is ever sure of themselves across the board. Like, there's 100 million things about myself that I like in the back of my head, there's like that little voice that's like, this is terrible, like, you need to change this about yourself. But at the end of the day, if you are confident and you're sure of yourself in one aspect, you're gonna experience a lot more people who don't like you than the normal person, and then you're gonna experience a lot more people who are vocal about the fact that they don't like you. And I think a good rule of thumb is that if there is people telling you that they don't like you, there is like 20 more people that are telling you that they do. Does that make sense? It's kind of like, I think being confident is to some people offensive. And it, like, especially in Ireland, there's this whole thing of, you know, and I don't like to say Irish begrudgery, because it's not I don't think it's just an Irish thing, but it is definitely something that we see quite a lot.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's just like, if there is people that are not begrudgers, but if there is people, like, you use the Hot Press stream as an example, there was loads of people that were really nice about it, and then there was also like 5 accounts being like, this is embarrassing, this is so cringy, who does she think she is? Like, I get those comments all the time. And I'm usually just, and like, even on my, if you go on my YouTube, I think it's really funny, because again, I'm at the start of my career, I've basically no views on that video compared to most people. There's probably like 20 comments that are really good, and then there's 5 that are like, who let this woman write this song, it's absolutely terrible. And then there's another one that was like, no wonder who could love her, obviously he hates her, when she has no looks, no personality, her singing is awful, like, da 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 da, like all this kind of stuff. And I just think, if you are trying to be confident, that's kind of what you have to come up against. But it's usually a sign that you're in going the right way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think there is, you're right to say that there is, it does seem to be a bit of an Irish thing. I hate to say it because Christ, I love Ireland and I love Irish people, but there is an element of kind of don't get too big for your booth there, or mm-hmm. and particularly with women, don't get too confident. And it's funny because sometimes I question, you know, would those comments be it, particularly about, you know, things like your about your looks or about, you know, your relationship or how could someone love you, like those things, like would they be getting leveled at a male artist? I don't know. I don't think they have that same I don't think they get that same response.
They don't at the same level. Like it's no. Like when you consider the fact that I'm literally on my second song, like I've released two songs and my career is about 3 months old. Like any other artist that was kind of had the same trajectory as me, if they were male, they'd be getting nothing but compliments because usually people don't want to tear people down when they are just starting off. When they're so fresh and so new, and like, and it's not just, it's like, I do think it is a sign that I'm doing something right. But it's also like I'm very aware of the fact that men don't experience it. They just don't at the same level. They do, but not anywhere near the same level, and not as fast, and not as intense.
No, and it comes at a completely different angle, I think, as well. There's a certain kind of comment that will only, you know, only be thrown at women, and that's, it's a shame. But you're totally right. I actually, just as you were chatting there, I wrote down in my notebook, you must be doing something right. That's literally the sentence I wrote down. I'll send you a picture of it after, because I was like, that's so true, because I honestly believe that the better you're doing and, you know, the kind of more you're about to succeed, the more people are threatened by it in a weird way. But yeah. I have to say, and I mean this, and I was only saying this to friends of mine the other day, I was like, I am so buzzed that I will have had you on my podcast, and then, you know, looking forward a couple of years and you'll be picking up your Grammy, and I'm like, well, I knew her when she only had two songs out and when she was, you know, and I'm actually so excited about that. And that's something that, like, and I that's not even a question for me. You know the way people say that if you want to manifest something, just act as if it's already happened? In my head, you've already got like 3 Grammys, so you're up there.
I'd like an Ivor Novello and not a Grammy. Songwriting awards.
Yeah, that's
the Grammys are a bit more. The Grammys are a bit more. You kind of have to pay to get an award. It's not real. It's not a real award. But the Ivor Novellos, I would really like one.
They're real. Yeah, they're real.
Thank you, universe. I would really like one. Please, can I have one?
She's already got one. So thank you so much for chatting me today. I really, that was so enjoyable. And honestly, like, it's given me such an insight into how, like, you know, songwriting and how you work and all that kind of stuff. So I really appreciate coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely.
Thank you so much again to CMAT. Her songs that I'm obsessed with, as I said, are called Another Day, and then in brackets, in KFC, I think. And then the other one is called Rodney, and they're both on Spotify. I'll put swipe up links on my page, which is at Aisling M. Keenan, and I'll put the Spotify links on Private Education's page, which is at Private Education Podcast. I really loved having her on. I just think that, like I said, I'm wasn't being facetious when I was saying that I think she's in for like serious massive success. We may actually even get a song from herself to attach to this episode. Hopefully we'll be able to get that organized at some point. If so, I'll redirect everyone back to listen again. And in the meantime, thank you so much for your support to Private Education. I know I left a big long fortnight of a gap there in between episodes, but I was just up the walls with other stuff. I'm still trying to get the beauty podcast sorted and get that launched. And yeah, next week I think it will be just little old me by myself again. I think I'm going to do a Q&A episode and answer some questions, because I've had
a rake of emails and Instagram messages in. So yeah, stick around for that. That'll be next Friday. And in the meantime, stay safe, have fun, goodbye. Words are sleeping.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.